Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's episode, part two.
If Harry's a Gryffindor, I want to be a Hufflepuff.
I want to be the other one. I don't know what they're all called.
I don't know what I'm saying. Slytherin and Ravenclaw. Ravenclaw, Ravenclaw. I'm not sure. I was never like a Harry Potter boy, if I'm honest.
Nor was I. So, I was ahead of that generation, I'm afraid.
Yeah, yeah. When it got to the point of everyone telling me it was so good that I need to watch Harry Potter, I was, well, no, 20-odd years old or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know. I think I'm too late now. I'm not too sure.
when the third one came out, I was working as a residential childcare worker, and I had to take one of the kids to see the movie. The third, was it The Prisoner of Azkaban?
Don't ask me, mate. I've got no idea.
That was the first time I'd ever seen Harry Potter.
Yeah, I've actually got a vendetta against Harry Potter because I've seen this before somewhere, so I'm not alone on this, but it's basically a rip-off of Star Wars.
Kind of.
Yeah, so, I mean, most stories are in a way, so it's all right. If you're into Harry Potter...
This is not a Harry Potter podcast.
No,
I don't even know why we've entertained it for so long as we have.
No.
We are part two of the 9/11
Indeed.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
And today we're going to go through and bullet point all of these conspiracies, or at least the main ones, the ones that aren't complete tosh.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to try and debunk them if we can.
Yeah, some of the ones we said last week we kind of debunked on the spot.
We kind of did, yeah.
So
we don't really need to go over those again
so
much, do we?
But I also can't remember which ones we've already said and debunked. So I think as we go through, if it's fresh in our minds...
Hopefully, it will freshen up our memories.
So the first one was the high-level officials with advanced knowledge. The Bush administration and U.S. Air Force had no knowledge. Foreign agencies were not specific enough to have warranted preventative action.
Right.
FBI Director Robert Mueller said there's no way to indicate this type of operation was going to happen. They deny any involvement or knowledge. And also, it's going to keep coming up, but the CIA and the FBI were not working together at the time.
No.
So
they were kind of arch enemies, weren't they? They both wanted to be the top dog.
Yeah. It's like there was those shows, wasn't there? Like Law and Order and things where, like, the police would be there, and then the FBI would turn up and be like, oh, beat it, kid, we're in charge now. Yeah, and then the CIA would turn up and be like, beat it, kid, we're in charge.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all just taking over from each other. I think it was a bit like that back in 2001.
Yeah, probably was, yeah.
But as for high-level officials and advanced knowledge, that's all we can say to debunk it is...
The official statement is they had no knowledge of it prior.
Yep, yep. It was complete random terrorist attack.
Fair enough.
The investors and finance.
Oh, no, this one is interesting.
Yeah, we touched on it. So I will just throw out some numbers there. We talked about briefly about the record number of kind of insurance sales put options and things like that. I just want to touch on that and say that thousands of shares were also bought for both the airlines involved in the terrorist attack. So only for American Airlines and United Airlines. So shares. And one of, I think it was American Airlines, 115,000 shares were bought.
Ooh,
the week of the attack or just before the attack. Also, a couple of other numbers here.
But then, well, I know we put this down to like insider trading last week, didn't we? But why would you buy shares, particularly hundreds of thousands of shares in an airline company, if you had insider knowledge about this and you knew that those planes were going to crash? I mean, surely that would make your shares be worth less, wouldn't it?
I'm not sure how finance and trading and everything works. My brother would know.
Or was it a short sell?
Someone
knew that the stocks were going to go down, so they sold hundreds of thousands.
That could possibly be. That would make more sense to me.
That would make more sense to me.
But again, the traders and everything, their names have never been public. No one knows.
No.
There's a couple of other things here. So the record number of insurance put options and contracts were sold, and that was 4,744 insurance
bonds.
It's put options. I looked up what a put option is, and it's almost like kind of changing certain things to do with insurance policy. So like, I want to change this on my insurance. So if a plane crashes into a building, I get paid for it.
Okay.
It's like put options.
Yeah.
So 4,744 were sold or changed for United Airlines, and 4,516 for American Airlines. No other airline had any insurance sales or any trading sales or anything, just those two airlines.
And that happened one, did you say like the day before or something?
Yes. It started on September 7th, and most of the deals were finished by September 10th, so the day before. So there was 3-4 days of all these insider tradings and money and all sorts. So that's freaky, and that's something that I can't debunk.
It's conspicuous, isn't it?
Yeah, and the 9/11 Commission report and everything, and the people involved, the higher-ups, again, just say it's coincidence.
There's a lot of coincidences, though, aren't there? I mean, you got to admit.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I said to you after we finished recording last week is everyone's got a different number in their mind. Like maybe after the third coincidence, you might turn around and say, "Well,
something's a bit
fishy." For me, it could be 5, but when there's like 8, 9, 10 coincidences in a row, I'm not saying the conspiracy theorists are right, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm just saying that there's something there that's weird. It doesn't add up, and how many coincidences can you take before you go, right, there is definitely something fishy about this. There is some sort of behind the scenes.
I mean, particularly with like insurance fraud kind of thing. I mean, what's that effect when there's like a chain reaction when somebody like starts a ball rolling here and then it drops onto a little alley and it rolls down the alley and tips a domino and then there's a domino run and, you know, one chain of events leads to another.
Yeah.
An insurance thing isn't even part of that.
No.
It's a completely separate entity. It's like you say, a complete coincidence that the two airlines that it happened to just happened to update their insurance policy like a few days before. I mean,
it's weird.
It's not even a knock-on effect, is it?
You know? Yeah. And there are a few things that will pop up that is just weird and there's no explanation for it.
Fair enough.
That's maybe 2 now that we can't really debunk. We just have to kind of take the commission report's word for it. So we touched on Building 7, the collapsing. Again, 47 floors, 610 feet tall.
Yeah.
This was actually, well, do you know anything about how Building 7 collapsed? Because you remember you said about the
reporter, that's all I know about it, really, to be honest. I know that there was a reporter reported that it had collapsed probably about 30 minutes before the actual collapse happened.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Which is what made people up in arms and, oh, it's got to be, you know, insider knowledge, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, she shouldn't be reporting that.
Mm-hmm. And there's truth behind that. So
okay.
I'm going to debunk this one. It was actually damage by the debris due to the fall of the North Tower, which then created a chain reaction of multiple fires in Building 7, which continued to burn. Obviously, heat rises. And there was internal fire, and the water system didn't have enough pressure to put it out. So,
the fire sprinklers?
Yeah, the sprinklers and the whole water system inside Building 7 was faulty, if you like.
Probably it because it would have been on the same water supply as the two Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Towers. And they would have been splurting out water everywhere from burst pipes. And
yeah.
That would have dropped the pressure across the entire block.
That would make sense, yeah. And so the internal column collapse triggered progressive collapse.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And the reason that the reporter managed to report it before it collapsed was because the firefighters were approaching and obviously could see what was going on.
Yeah, you could see
the damage. They're experts
in
fire, saw the damage, could see what was happening.
And said,
they
evacuate, get everyone out, because that building's going to go down.
It's going to collapse. So the news people around the area obviously picked up on this and then reported it before it actually collapsed.
Right, but yeah. They actually had an official press release, probably.
Yeah, I think they just said it, and it was like, oh, we've just been told Building 7's collapsed, and it hadn't.
It
was going to.
Yeah, they knew it was going to, yeah.
So that's kind of explained. That's
yeah.
All right. We'll debunk that one. controlled demolitions.
Right, yeah.
Now, not one person was seen carrying or placing the alleged bombs or explosives into the basement or ground level of the towers. And, I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I think you would need a hell of a lot of explosives to...
You'd need to put them on multiple floors, not just the basement.
Yeah.
Even today, bringing down high-rise buildings, they'll go through and they, you know, rip out all the woodwork and doors and, you know, anything that's valuable, and then charges are placed strategically up the entire building to make it collapse in on itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would have to be on multiple floors, not just the basement.
Yeah, yeah, you are right, to have any effect.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it just seems ridiculous to even explain that, really, but there was just no one walking in and out with huge bombs and explosives. No. And here's a little nugget of information for you. The basement was actually bombproof.
That doesn't surprise me.
They
yeah.
built it to be bomb-proof, and they even tested out smaller bombs in there, and there was minimal damage because they had made it bomb-proof.
Yeah, fair enough.
So another one, debunked.
Yeah, tick off tick. The list.
Don't worry, I know we're flying through these, but we have a few pages. We still have
a few
notes
we've
and
still
things.
Got
so.
A while.
Pentagon missile.
I'm pretty sure we debunked this one last week. There's no way that an actual full-sized missile was let off inside the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Okay, one could have been fired at the Pentagon, but again, still, I remember seeing images of a plane crash.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And a plane looks different to a missile.
Yeah, and the obvious reason as well is a missile would have caused more damage than a plane.
Mm-hmm.
The Pentagon is layers of concrete and steel, which is heavily armed. One wing also hit the ground before colliding, which reduced the impact.
That's what I think I said last week. It wasn't a direct impact, was it? It was, the plane kind of rolled into the building, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. The only weird thing I will say is about this, so don't take it as me sticking up for the conspiracy theories. I just have to make both sides of the argument. And the only little weird bit of information I could find about that was that in the late 80s, there was a program that was signed off on to reinforce and, what's the word? not rejuvenate. The like,
yeah, I don't know. complete your sentence, and I'll get the word for you.
Basically, like upgrade the Pentagon.
Yeah, yeah.
And they managed to get most of it complete, apart from the one section.
And that happens to be the section that the plane crashed.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So that is a little bit odd. But
maybe that there was a vulnerability there and the terrorists were trying to exploit that vulnerability. That's my take on that.
Yeah. But either way, there was definitely no missile. So no. We can debunk that one. And I might as well just actually open that up all the way. So this is the one I was excited to explain. The jet fuel can't melt steel.
Yes. Right. Let's get into this one. Go on. Let me hear your take on it.
So my take on it from the research I found and the conversation and the research I did with my father-in-law, there is something called a thermite reaction, which is aluminium, iron oxide and water. And a thermite reaction can reach up to 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit, I want to say.
Probably Fahrenheit, yeah.
Fahrenheit. And steel can bend and start to melt at 13,000 Celsius or 2,500 Fahrenheit.
Yep.
And also the fuel is found in the wings of the plane, which I actually didn't know until he told me that the fuel is in the wings for most planes.
Most passenger planes. It's closest to the jet.
Yeah. So kerosene, which is the fancy word for jet fuel, burns at 1,500 Fahrenheit or 815 Celsius. So the theory is, well, I say the theory, they've kind of proved it at this point, is when the plane went into the building, you've got fuel on the wings, it spread out and with the thermite reaction went down the sides of the building, creating a thermite reaction, which then caused the steel to melt and bend and break.
Right. Can I give my take on this?
Yep, go for it.
Okay. I went to carpentry college when I left school. And one of the things that we were taught, this is 1999, 2000, 2001 sort of time, around about the same time, just earlier than this. And one of the things that we were taught in carpentry college was if you're working in a steel-framed building, all that steel has to be boxed in with, like, plasterboard or plywood or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Now, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s maybe, they didn't have the fire regulations that we had when they were putting up all these buildings. And they neglected to pack around the steel I-beams with fiberglass when they were boxing them in. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yep.
I have a feeling that the World Trade Center would have been put up in those times where they didn't have those kind of fire regulations. So all that steel framework would have been open, would have like had literally like tubes of air going, where it's boxed in, there would have been air. Well, this is precisely why we pack it with fiberglass now, is to stop fire from spreading up the length of those steel beams. Because when you think about it, you've got like an air vent network going around the entire building, around where those steel beams are boxed in. Mm-hmm. And if fire gets in there, it just rages. There's nowhere for it to go. And it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. No matter what your burning point of jet fuel is, it doesn't matter. It's just going to be exacerbated. Very exaggerated by that boxing in. And when steel obviously hits that 1370 Celsius, or probably even before then, to be fair, it literally just becomes pliable, and a straight, sturdy I-beam will turn into spaghetti. So that is literally what was happening over the entire building.
Fire
was spreading through that network of the boxing in around the steel framework. And it was just literally turning that entire steel frame into spaghetti. Doesn't matter what point of the building that started happening at first. It's just going to be a chain reaction.
Yeah.
You know?
And a lot of people say that the way the buildings fell was like it doesn't fit with the bending and melting of steel. But we've kind of already debunked the other one. And
I don't know. See, again, I mentioned the previous podcast that these days skyscrapers are built, basically they build the elevators first,
mm-hmm.
and then everything else is built with the elevators being the supporting structure.
Mm.
So if the fire or you know, the damage gets the elevator shaft first and that elevator shaft starts collapsing, everything's just going to collapse down with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would look like a demolition,
mm.
even though it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
It would sort of look like the building was imploding, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah,
which
yeah.
I believe is exactly what they saw.
Yeah. This is crazy, isn't it? Just yeah. all these theories and stuff.
So there you go. Debunked. Jet fuel can yeah. melt steel.
Jet fuel can melt steel. NORAD, the stand-down theory.
Mm.
Remember that one? So first action by hijackers was to turn off or disable each of the four aircrafts on board transporters. Transponders,
yeah.
Transponders, that's the one. Without this on the planes, tail numbers, altitude and speed couldn't be identified. So the planes would have just been blips among 4,500 other blips on the radar, on the screens.
Okay, yeah. I get that, but also, this is a weird one again. See, right after this happened, mm. I remember on British television, they did like a sort of a game show type thing.
Right.
Where they gave contestants, they'd have a team of contestants, like four or five people, that were sort of simulated running the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the simulations was a rogue aeroplane. It was approaching from, I think it was like from the, like just off the coast of Spain, went up the English Channel, turned into England, and turned up, and flew up the Thames.
Mm-hmm.
And this group of people in the simulation obviously were challenged with what did they do? Do they shoot the plane down? Do they allow it to land? There was no communication being forward or backwards from the plane. The plane wouldn't identify itself. And they left it too long, and that plane crashed into the Houses of Parliament. Simulation, obviously.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They lost the game.
Okay.
But this was like a direct example of how these mistakes can be made
mm-hmm.
after the 9/11 thing. It was making an example of that, of how these mistakes are made.
Yeah.
But not necessarily that they would have been just blips among others, but they should have picked out that those planes were in the wrong place.
Yes.
And there should have been efforts made to, according to that TV program, those people on that board, in that simulation, should have fired on that plane regardless,
mm-hmm.
as it turned out into the Thames. The same goes for this. Those planes should have been fired on as soon as they were found to be outside of their flight path, or if there was no recorded flight path for them. Mm-hmm. So it was neglection, really, by the air flight control.
I see what you're saying, but at the same time, you've also got to think about
the sheer number of planes that are going around. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah, it's also to do with, like, there's a few hundred people on that plane. You don't know if they are trying to take it down from within to save lives. Yeah. So there's so much
that goes into that. And the other thing is, as we said in the first episode, this was the first case that we ever had of this ever actually successfully happening for the terrorists, you know?
Yeah, because the last passenger plane hijacking was 1979.
Yeah.
But it wasn't successful.
It wasn't successful, yeah. No. So we learn from our mistakes.
Mm.
When mistakes haven't been made before, it allows these mistakes to happen in the future, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is my explanation for that. So, I mean, it's not really a debunking, but...
No. I also read that the spokesperson for NORAD said that they didn't hear about or know about the Twin Towers until, I think it was 3 minutes before the second one hit.
Oh, really?
And it was too late to do anything about it. So something along those lines is what I read. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, three minutes before the second one hit, they wouldn't have been able to scramble fighter jets there in time to shoot it down.
That was the other thing. The fighter jets to sort out the situation.
Yeah.
There wasn't many on call or responding, And I think the first one turned up, I think, I'm sure I read 19 minutes after the second tower had been hit.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Fighter jets turned up or something.
Well, you said in the first episode that the fighter jets were told to stand down.
Yeah,
and I think I stress that it's more likely that they were never notified to scramble in the first place.
Yes.
And if it takes nearly 20 minutes to get there, I mean, it's just never going to happen, is it?
That is what NORAD said, basically. It's like, we just didn't know that it was happening. There was no way of predicting it. Another one was plane parts found miles away. So that was one of the theories people were saying that, when you know the plane I said in Flight 93 where they saved the plane and it went into a field, there was some theory that the plane would have been shot down by another government plane or something like that, and it was all an inside job because there was parts miles away from the plane. I'm not too sure.
Plane hitting the ground at 500 miles an hour is going to break into pieces and eject some of them pieces a long way.
Well, logically, you would think so. So there was papers and passports found up to 8 miles away from the crash scene.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it was also reported that there was high winds on that day as well. Winds can easily take papers and things miles and miles. But it's also false because the part of the engine, the furthest part of anything that was substantial, so big, heavy metal, the engine, it was found 300 yards away. That was the furthest bit of serious debris. Everything else that was found miles was, like I said, papers and small bits of material,
stuff that
fabric.
On the wind anyway.
So that is debunked. Like, people can't say that they found the engine 7 miles. They didn't.
The black box was in Canada.
It was 300 yards. The furthest away. So debunk that one. This one, very briefly, because I'm not going to take too much time on this one. The photo I mentioned about the small little kind of mushroom cloud from a dish.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Showed me that after last night. Personally, I don't think it actually looks like an actual... I wouldn't call it a mushroom cloud.
Not what we know as a
mushroom
cloud.
I can see why
cloud.
People call it that. Mm. But, yeah, it just looked like the aftermath of an explosion to me. So
basically, yeah. It has a small kind of shape to the mushroom cloud, but it's not what we would consider a nuclear mushroom cloud.
It doesn't have that classic rolling cloud, you know, where it comes over the top and underneath with it, like the mushroom stalk underneath, you know, rising up into it. It was just like a little ball of smoke.
Yeah, that's fair. but the fake photo, that photo that was taken by Valencia McClatchy...
looked genuine enough to me.
It was studied by 4 separate photography experts, and they all concluded the picture is 100% real after several tests on the photo. So all those people that gave her death threats and said the photo was fake, 4 different agencies all confirmed it is genuine, it is real.
Fair enough. But I just want to stress... not a mushroom cloud. You could light a fire and take a photo of it from half a mile away and it would look like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was from a distance, wasn't it, the picture?
Yeah.
It was a fair distance
away.
Yeah,
it was a fair distance.
There's like a red barn and stuff in the picture. The hijackers, they were all named by the CIA, but again, they did not share the info with the FBI or US immigration. So 16 out of the 19 shouldn't have even been let into the United States. But because the CIA and the FBI weren't working together, they didn't tell US immigration. Therefore, they managed to get through.
In fairness, it's only since 9/11 that, well, all over the world, really, the airport security stepped up, isn't it? Even in England, you never saw armed police in an airport before 9/11 happened.
No, very true. Yeah, yeah. And wasn't that the incident where we all started having to take our shoes off and things like that?
You weren't like, I remember going on a plane to Germany just a few years later. And there were armed police walking around MP5s in the airport. Mm-hmm. When we went through security, my girlfriend at the time was told to try a bottle of baby juice that was there for our son.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to prove that it wasn't a detonatable liquid by drinking some of it going through security. Just because we'd prepared him a bottle of blackcurrant juice, you know?
That's nuts. That's far.
But that's how it went. That's how it went. The security really did tighten up for like a number of years. I mean, it's probably slacker now than what it was just after that.
Yeah, yeah, I imagine they have proper stepped it up. I don't know what it's like now. I haven't been to America for a while.
I've never been to America, but even just around Europe, they tightened security ridiculously tight.
Yeah, well, I won't go too much into it, but I told you the story of where a friend whose name won't be mentioned thought it'd be a good idea to take a BB gun through the Spanish airport.
Yeah.
And we almost got shot on the spot. So this is just a little tidbit of information when it comes to the hijackers. So the BBC messed up a little bit here. They released the names of the hijackers before the CIA did. And some of the people that they had on this list, they turned out to be alive. This caused the theorists to say, well, the hijacking wasn't real. Must have been an inside job because these people would have died in 9/11 and they're alive.
Been on the plane when it crashed.
Well, it turns out, my friend, that the BBC messed up and they had people with similar or the same names because...
Yes, of course, because of like the Islamic belief. Because these would have been men, all men born in the Islamic faith take the same seven names, don't they?
Pretty much, yeah.
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 And they've all got very similar surnames, I would imagine, as well.
Yeah, a lot of Muhammads and Al's and Ali's and things like that. So, yeah, that was one of the theories, but that was due to a mistake by the BBC. They've since rectified it, and the CIA gave the list of the actual hijackers, and then people realise that, no, that is legit. So, Israel and other countries having knowledge. This was a theory. So, certain suspects in the September 11th attacks may have managed to stay ahead by using information from Andoz Limited, an Israeli-based private communications company, and Converse Infoys, which these companies provide electronic eavesdropping technology for the US government.
Oh, right, okay.
They also deny all allegations of being involved.
Of course.
And the other thing is other countries knew about terrorism, but not to this extent. So there's just basically people just saying that there was other countries that knew. And another little example of this is on the day of 9/11, there was five Israelis filming the whole thing from a white van. It was called Urban Moving, which is an Israel company.
Right.
And several people said that they were smiling and almost cheering in a way, celebrating what was happening in front of them and recording the whole thing.
All right.
These five men were investigated heavily. I'm pretty sure they were all in jail for a long time. All got investigated. And turns out that they did nothing wrong whatsoever, and they were just five Israeli men working for a company that just happened to be there filming it. Right. So, again, a little bit of weirdness there.
Coincidence, again, like you say.
Yeah. So that's pretty much when it comes to other countries, they just deny that there was no information.
Denial knowledge, yeah, fair enough.
Black boxes.
Yeah.
Right. So
this one is an interesting one for me because they're designed to be the one thing that is always recoverable from a plane.
Yeah.
If it crashes. Yeah.
And they're found near the tail of the plane.
I think planes have normally got two black boxes, don't they?
Yes, one's in the
backup,
cockpit.
One's the cockpit and one's in the tail, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
in case one goes down, they've got a backup.
Always. Yeah, but yeah. The main one is in the tail of the plane because, in theory, if there is a crash or whatever happens...
It's going to hit nose first, yeah.
Yeah. So none of the four black boxes on the two planes were recovered in the building's rubble. Just the ones that hit the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Obviously, two per plane. None of them that were recovered. Completely lost. So that's a bit of weirdness.
That is I can't
say anything more about that. At the Pentagon, both boxes were recovered, but the cockpit recorder was so badly damaged, it did not have any usable information whatsoever.
Okay.
So again, a little bit of weirdness. I should just mention as well, black boxes are bright orange and made of titanium and steel alloy.
Yeah.
So they're very, very durable. But then there's a little bit here that told me that black boxes can actually only survive up to 2,000 degrees, like heat.
Okay. Yeah.
And velocities of 510 miles per hour. So I don't know. I'm going to say I'm not a pilot. I don't work on planes, so I can't.
Aviation industry that well. So,
so basically, the black boxes for the Pentagon were unusable. And then the Flight 93 one that crashed into the middle of the field, supposedly, allegedly, were taken for evidence to a location. No one's heard of them since.
Right.
There's a handful of recordings that you can find online, but I don't know if they're legit or not. I can't see the government releasing that for no reason. No, you know what I mean? No. So that's
just
pretty
fuel
much...
fuel in the fire, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So that's all I've got on the black boxes. That is something that is very weird, how they've never been recovered.
That is strange, yeah.
In the whole, you know, time of having black boxes and planes and stuff, they've always managed to recover at least one.
Yeah.
So this is the first instance where none of them have been recovered. So that is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
This one... It's not funny by any means, but it's just a little bit silly. Like, so people were saying that the passports were found at the...
Oh, the passports and paperwork survived, but the black boxes didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not true at all.
No?
No. So they have got... Well, they did have some DNA, as you would do.
You would do, yeah.
But DNA still to this day is still being used to identify people from 9/11.
Right.
Which is very difficult to do with all of that happened.
Yeah, of course it is.
I read that they've managed to get it down to about 1,000 people that they still can't identify. But obviously with everything that happened and families and things, they've pretty much put two and two together.
Yeah, yeah.
But officially there is 1,000 people that left that they haven't been able to technically identify from.
So they probably have an idea of who they are, but they can't actually pick one from another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But there were four passports actually recovered from the crash.
Just four?
Right? Yeah, okay. And this is why it's a bit silly. So... two from Flight 93, which didn't even hit the towers. So
no.
So that's kind of understandable. Like, obviously there was a lot more rubble and damage with the Twin Towers.
Yeah, but a couple of passports might have made it through, yeah.
Yeah. One on the street was badly damaged, but that was with the Twin Towers, but it was so badly damaged it wasn't even that identifiable. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like a tiny bit of card or something in the wreckage.
Yeah, again, that could have just fallen from the plane as it hit the building, couldn't it? The amount of destruction that would have caused.
Yeah. And one passport was left behind at Boston. So before the plane even took off. Enough. So that's the passports that people are talking about when they say, oh, they found passports in the rubble. No, that's not true at all. Pretty much everything was gone.
It sounds plausible, though. I mean, I remember, like I say, I remember actually watching it happen, and at least the second plane hitting.
Mm-hmm.
When I turned on TV, the first plane had already struck the first tower, and as I was watching, I can't remember, maybe it was like half an hour later, or I can't remember if it was 5 minutes or half an hour, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember seeing that second plane hit the building, and it's not like it instantly exploded in a massive fireball of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
It just hit the building. There's a lot of smoke and dust come out.
Yeah.
But it's just, that's it.
Mm.
And the rest of the carnage happened over the next few hours, you know, the buildings falling down, the fire spreading and all that sort of thing. It wasn't just an instant thing, yeah. Everything's done. You know, so there is time and, you know, ways that these things could happen, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I mean, I saw one, I think it was the Jesse Ventura, like, show that I used to watch.
Right.
And that was all about conspiracy theories. And he was like, oh, they found fingernails. And it's like, no, they didn't. No. moving on from the passports and DNA, we've got the Bin Laden tapes, which we briefly spoke about. I mean, I don't really know what to say about this. Bin Laden has never claimed responsibility for the attacks, even though we said the evidence doesn't look great against him.
No, formally. But then why would you send those tapes to America if you weren't
exactly
claiming responsibility?
And he did say this. I've got a quote here from one of the Bin Laden tapes. He said, America has been hit by God at its most vulnerable point. Destroyed. Thank God. So he did say that in a tape. So, yeah, I mean, again, the evidence doesn't look great. Considering he's not taking responsibility to come out and say that, I think we can all come to the conclusion that he did it.
Near enough, he
was the mastermind behind it. And apart from that, mate, I don't really know what other conspiracies we can debunk. I think we've done the main ones.
Yeah.
It's not appropriate to do the song, but I have got a little bit of pop culture involving three celebrities with 9/11. Okay. Just so we can kind of end the podcast on a little bit of a lighter note.
Yeah.
So there was three celebrities that were supposed to be on the planes or in the Trade Center that luckily survived. So the first one was Michael Jackson.
Really?
He had a meeting at the World Trade Center.
I was going to say, I wouldn't imagine he'd have been on one of the planes.
No. He had a meeting and he overslept with his alarm and didn't end up going. He just cancelled it and said, I'll do it another time.
All right.
So he survived because of that.
For a while, yeah.
Mark Wahlberg, he was scheduled to be on Flight 11, which is the first one.
Okay.
He changed his mind.
That was the one that was going to California. So
Yeah, okay. And at the last second, he changed his mind and said, I'll do LA another time. I'm going to go to Toronto instead. So he literally just didn't get on the plane, went over and booked another one and went to Toronto instead.
Lucky guy.
Yeah. There was a little bit of controversy with Mark Wahlberg. He has since apologized, but I'm paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of, if I was on that plane, I would have, you know,
done something.
Tried to be like a bit of a hero. Yeah. And I don't think people took that very well. But he has since apologized. So, but, you know, that's just.
At the end of the day, you don't know how you're going to react until you're actually in that situation.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody would like to think that they would be the hero.
Yeah.
But until it actually happens. You just don't know, do you?
And he could have been angry or in shock because he was supposed to be on that flight. So, you know, he could have just come out with it.
Yeah. Slip of the tongue for Mark there.
Yeah. So this one I thought was quite the most interesting out of the three. So Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy. Yeah, he actually missed the boarding. So he arrived too late. To the plane.
He still wanted to actually get on it then.
Yeah. So he was the same flight as Mark Wahlberg, the first plane. And the reason he turned up too late was because he was hungover. So, yeah, he'd had a heavy night the night before, turned up to the airport late, and he missed it by 10 minutes.
Again, lucky guy.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
Wow.
So that's all the celebrity kind of thing I've got involved with that. There's one more. Adam Driver. I'm pretty sure he joined the Marines because of 9/11. He saw what happened when he was a young kid and instantly joined the Marines and wanted to fight for the country and things. So there's a little connection there.
Fair enough.
But that is pretty much everything I've got apart from the conclusion of 9/11.
Okay.
Now, the only thing I will say is I think when it comes to trauma and big events like this, which don't happen often, at least for, you know, the Western side of things, I believe that conspiracy theories, not all of them, but some of them, might be easier for people than the actual truth that terrorists did do this.
Yeah, and I think you're right.
Do you know what I mean? And it, yeah. They feel a bit vulnerable, like, how dare these people come into the country and do that to my soil? And yeah. I think they get very angry and upset, so it's easier for them to come out
America
with these theories.
America being such a big powerhouse with, you know, one of the biggest militaries in the world, I would imagine that a lot of civilians in America would say, you know, it can't happen to us.
Yeah.
Not without our you know, government knowing about it and just turning a blind eye or whatever, you know, because we're the biggest country in the world. How could that happen, you know?
Yeah, I imagine they feel a bit violated as well.
Oh, obviously, you know what I mean?
So that's just my take on it. I think, like, there is a bit of weirdness there, don't get me wrong. Some things is coincidence, can't explain it. But the actual idea that the whole thing was an inside job, they weren't terrorists or that, I think that is absolutely a load of nonsense. And I think that is just people trying to justify theories because they're not sure of how they feel about themselves. They can't comprehend it, that this happened.
Yeah.
So that's all I will say on the conclusion.
Well, my conclusion, like, your first point was the government claimed they had no prior knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I would say, from my, this is my personal opinion now, is that, yes, I believe them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the president had any prior knowledge that, you know, this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have booked a school trip and been reading a book to children at the time of it happening, you know. But the financial aspect of it is very shady.
That's the bit, isn't it?
And off camera last week, we were discussing the chief firefighter's reaction.
Yes.
To 9/11 happening. And even he claimed that, you know, some people may have been in the loop. Well, I can't make a direct quote, but to paraphrase, it was like, how much money would you put on these people's lives?
Mm.
And when you're talking hundreds of millions, or what was it, 2.3 trillion?
Trillion, yeah.
If someone said you could have a share of 2.3 trillion, you've just got to let a couple of thousand people die, there's not many people who wouldn't let that happen. I know it's a horrible claim to make, but unfortunately that is true with human nature.
Yeah.
But now, I can happily believe that the higher-ups in the government had no prior knowledge of it, but it seems almost unbelievable to me that nobody had prior knowledge of it.
This is the thing, isn't it? We're never going to find out.
Particularly with those financial trades and insurance stuff and going on, I would say it's very likely that at least a handful of people knew about it beforehand, and they were more interested in their profit margin than they were in saving lives and averting a disaster, which is a travesty upon humanity, really.
Yeah, and it's insane that someone would do that. Yeah. But like you say, there are greedy people out there. Like we see it all the time where someone has a successful business or something and they probably do a little bit of charity work, but there is no reason why someone should have 12 Bentleys, 8 Ferraris, 3 Porsches, 7 houses around the world and all this, and keep all of that wealth.
I think I've said it before, is that, like, billionaire, you don't become a billionaire without having some kind of traits of a psychopath.
Yes, yeah, I agree with you there.
Do you know, you've got very little empathy for other people. Mm-hmm. If you can have billions of dollars or pounds or whatever in your bank account or in assets and watch children starve in Africa while you eat your caviar and drink champagne, that's psychopathic behaviour.
Yes, yeah.
And people with those attributes, they would quite happily do this, you know?
So we're kind of the same on this, where it's definitely terrorism.
Definitely.
We think that they're, the president.
Al-Qaeda, I would say, definitely responsible.
Yeah, but there is some weirdness there that is just dark.
It shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And in my personal opinion, somebody, and obviously I have no idea who that is, but somebody would have known it was going to happen, and they've let it happen.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. So what are you giving it on the paranormality scale?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure how to scale it. Whether we scale it, do we scale the believability of the conspiracy theory or theories, or do we scale it just on the level of tragedy that it was?
The thing is, our scale, we said going forward it would be like how much we like it and enjoy it. And obviously, with it being a tragedy, we're not saying we like or enjoy the tragedy.
No, God,
but
no.
What we're saying is the actual conspiracy of it, the fact that it's been going 20 plus years and there's a lot to it.
It's a strong theory.
We've got our own little theories there. We've got information that we can debunk and couldn't debunk. So it's just, I was just going to do it on how I feel about the actual just conspiracy of 9/11. And I'm absolutely fascinated with it. Still am after all this research.
Yeah.
So if it helps you,
I'll tell you, I'll go first then, because I've just had my little 5 minutes on like the psychopathy of, you know, the rich people that potentially could have got richer from this.
Mm.
I believe that is a true thing. I do. I think humans are sick enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not rating this that I like the tragedy, I like the disaster, but on how believable that I think people could have turned a blind eye for their own profit, for their own benefits, where they don't give a hell about anybody else. Crikey, I'd say 9.5.
Yeah, that's quite high. Yeah, I was gonna give it a solid 9.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's like, again, it's just the conspiracy of it. It's just so fascinating. And I said to you before, I'd done 2 days of research, and I feel like I could still do more and find out more information.
Yeah. And the rabbit hole just keeps going deeper, doesn't it?
Yeah, and because it's such a unique conspiracy theory, it rates quite high for me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I'm going to give it a 9. So you actually gave it more higher than I did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's up there. It's top 3 biggest conspiracies ever of all time. But that is the two parts of 9/11. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know what you think. Write into us if you were affected by 9/11, if you want to have a say, or if you feel like your voice hasn't been heard since the tragedy happened and you want to find a medium where your voice can be heard, you can approach us and we can see what we can do.
If you've got other theories.
If you've got other theories or inside knowledge that we haven't been able to cover here, then please do let us know, and maybe we'll just give we'll revisit this in a supplementary episode.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And, obviously the email is paranormality.uk@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or just our email. If you want to get in contact with us about this, then please do. And until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy.
Comfy.
I'm cozy.
Cozy.
I have 0 blisters on my toes.
Blisters.
And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and T-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.